Greetings in the precious name of Jesus. That song, What a Mighty God We Serve, that should give each one of us hope and courage to press on. Thankfully, Brother Steve has consented to come and have the message with for us this morning, and maybe the rest of our ministry will be back this next Sunday. So we appreciate the special help. Let's look over in Isaiah, the 55th chapter. Isaiah, the 55th chapter. Start there with the first verse. Maybe we'll just bow our heads before we begin. Dear Father, we thank Thee this morning for the privilege of being able to be gathered here together with the children of God. We just pray that Thou wilt be with us, Lord. We pray that Thou wilt open the Word to our hearts. Help us, O Father, that we might sense Thy direction and Thy guidance as we try to, that the Word might go out and find lodging in each one of our hearts. We pray that Thou wilt give us victory through Jesus and through His precious blood. We ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Isaiah 55:1. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. He that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, in your labor, for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God, and for the Holy One of Israel. For he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. And I think we'll stop right there. And then if we'll turn over to John, the 3rd chapter. John, the 3rd chapter. This 55th chapter of Isaiah is the invitation to the ones that are thirsty. If we're thirsty this morning, the invitation has gone out again. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye, buy, eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. So the invitation is for each one of us to come. And it's for whosoever will. And that's what we'll be looking at just a little bit in John, the 3rd chapter. God didn't pick out favorites and say, okay, if your family name is thus and so, come to the waters and drink. Or if you have a good-sized bank account, an impressive vehicle, and a nice house, come to the waters and drink. He didn't say that. He said, even if you don't have money, why do you seek for that which doesn't satisfy? But this is something that money can't buy. Money can't buy a home in the heaven. Money can't buy peace. Money can't buy the wonderful things that salvation provides. But it's a surrendered heart that receives those things. Now, in that third chapter of John, we see a man that just couldn't comprehend this when Jesus was trying to talk to him. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. And the same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Jesus was talking in the spiritual realm. He was talking with a spiritual message. And Nicodemus was thinking on a physical realm. He says in verse 4, Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And then he begins to explain it here. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. And if there is a new birth, even if there is a physical birth, there is evidence of life immediately. As soon as the little one comes into this world, usually what they want is a hearty cry, a scream, something to show that there's a life. They're breathing. Now they're breathing on their own. And it doesn't usually take too long until they're heard. And you hear the expression about that they've got a good set of lungs. Well, the same way with the spiritual birth. When a person is born from above, immediately there's the signs of life. He's very sensitive to the voice of God. He's listening to the Lord. He now can see what the scripture says. His spiritual sight is to where he can see. He's tasting, the scripture says, taste and see that the Lord is good. And he's tasted of the honey and the rock, and it's good. And he wants more of it. And he finds the place of prayer sweet. He finds the place where he reads his Bible and gets alone with the Lord, a precious time. He's a new creature in Christ Jesus. The old things have passed away and all things have become new. He must be born again. Marvel not, he said. Verse 8, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Isn't it something to see the difference on even a human countenance when they really become a child of God? I've just marveled. I saw some of the young people that I could tell they were going through terrific struggles. And we still sometimes go through battles and struggles after we're Christians. But we have someone to go with us through those things. But I've seen some of them that are evidently struggling with self and struggling with surrender. And there's just a gloomy look on their face and sort of a downcast countenance. And you feel for them if you could just say something. And so one of the best things we can do is really lift them to the throne of grace in prayer. And then what a wonderful thing it is to see that same person when he's lifted his heart in deep, broken contrition before God. And he's surrendered and he's given up. And then just to notice the light of God's presence on his countenance and a relaxed sense of the peace of God that has flooded his soul, and that all is well now, that it's forgiven, that I've confessed, I've forsaken, I have I have completely yielded to the Lord, and now it's in His hands. That look of peace and contentment is something that the world would give lots of money for, but it only comes through absolute surrender to the Lord. So Jesus says that the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. And Nicodemus was listening. I believe he's listening very intently. He came slipping in at nighttime because evidently he wanted to have a conversation with Jesus with no interference. He may have been afraid to have been seen here. But this next sentence really is amazing. He answered and said unto him, How can these things be? How can these things be? He just was trying to grasp it. He's trying to understand it, but he just could not hardly get a hold of it. How can these things be? And Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and you believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. I've been thinking about that little word, whosoever. Whosoever. I read this morning, I just was looking up some of the 5 points of Calvinism. And many of those do not believe that whosoever will may come, because they believe that it's all predetermined. But I was so thankful this morning that each one of us can know that whosoever, we can be a child of God. We don't have to come with our money. We don't have to come with our fine things. We don't have to come with even a godly heritage. It's wonderful if we do. It's a wonderful thing if we do. Just thinking of the situation, a couple situations were mentioned where the home life was just horrible. One young man, his father a drunkard, and the mother just, what would you say, a wildcat, so to speak. How would you like to live in that situation? I remember they told me about my uncle, that he began to sip a little bit of drink along with some of the other contractors. And they called it social drinking, and so that was acceptable as long as you just took a little bit. But the little bit kept increasing and increasing. And before long, he had sort of a red, what you call, swollen face. And he'd come home, they said, and the children would hide under the bed, hide in the closets, because he'd grab them and thrash them. He'd beat his wife. She had black eyes. And a man that had gobs of money, but he didn't have God. And he just took a little. Someone made the statement, you know, if you never take a drink, you'll never be a drunkard. And if you never take a smoke, you'll not be bound to that awful habit. But even if you have already, God can still break the power of sin and the bondage that sin brings. Some of them would say, well, I can quit this anytime I want to. But it's not so. Without the help of God, we cannot get out from the awful, under the awful bondage of sin. But the invitation went out, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I was thinking the other day, you know, some of you have heard some of the stories that I really hold dear. This one I keep in my Bible. It's called The Gypsy Boy. And some of you heard this more than one time. And I'm going to mention it again this morning. I've heard some of the young ones, they were at an age that couldn't understand or comprehend what was going on. And then all of a sudden they got up to the right age where they started comprehending some of these things, and they'd come to me. Well, they never heard me say that before. And I said it many times. I thought, I've been here almost 38, 40 years preaching. And so the older I get, you may hear some repetition. But this has been dear to my heart. And it tells about a preacher that went out. It reminded me of Romania when we went down to the gypsy camp. And he went down to an encampment of gypsies. And he was among them. And after buying some of their, they call them skewers, I had to ask my wife this morning, what are those? S-K-E-W-E-R-S. And then I looked it up on my phone, and it said something about sticks that they use for barbecue, and I guess you can put little bits of meat on them. And she was showing me, I guess you can put grapes and fruit and meat and cheese and all kinds of things. But this little gypsy boy had been making these and selling them. And this preacher had bought some. And he said he learned that one of the boys was very, very ill. And he begged that he'd be able to talk to him just for a little bit. I'm just guessing he's 11, 12 years old. He said, his daddy said, well, if you want to talk to him about religion, he said, I'll sick the dog on you. And no, he said, I want to talk to him about Jesus. You know, what we want to talk to people about is much higher than just religion. It's Jesus. And he said, that's fine. Okay, he said, you can go in. But if you start talking about religion, I'm going to sick the dog on you. Some way he made a difference there. Well, he found the boy back on his bed, and evidently he was in the very last stages of tuberculosis. He wasn't going to be long here for this old world. And his eyes were closed, and he looked like he was dead. He said that he got down close to him, down by his ear, and he began to quote that scripture that we just read. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And he said he repeated it about five times. And it didn't seem like that there was any response at all. The boy was just there with his eyes closed. And he was down close to his ear, repeating it to him about five times. Then he said the sixth time, when he repeated it to him, he said there was a smile came over the boy's face. To his delight, a smile came over his face, and he said these words, which were so precious. He said, I never thanked him, but nobody ever told me. I turn him my thanks, he said. Only a poor gypsy chap. He said, I see. I thank him kindly. These words faintly come from his lips. And he said, then he closed his eyes and he just had an intense look of satisfaction across his face. Just that he was at peace. He was satisfied. He had taken God's word to heart. It meant life and death to him. It meant everything. And it was more than just a mental ascent like out in the world, but it's he got a hold of it through the arms of faith and grasped the word of God, and he believed it. And he said as he knelt there, he thanked the Lord for the working of his spirit on this young fellow. And he said, his lips began to move. He was praying. And when he caught, he said, that's it. That's it. And there were more words, but he couldn't hear them all. And he said then the next day that he found that the dear lad had slipped away and had passed on. He'd fallen asleep in Christ 11 hours after he had left him. And his father said he'd been very peaceable and had died, and he called it, he said, a tidy death. And he says, there wasn't a Bible, there wasn't a testament in that gypsy encampment. And so he left one there. And the poor man, the father wished him, and he put there good luck, because we don't believe in luck. And gave me, he said he gave him a little bundle of these skewers, these little sticks, that the boy, his name was Jimmy, that had made. That's the first time this boy had ever heard anything about salvation, anything about Jesus, anything that gave him hope that he wouldn't have to perish, because Jesus, God had given Jesus his only son so that he could have eternal life. And he got a hold of that promise, and in just a few hours he slipped into eternity to be with the Lord. Oh, that each one of us today would take the word of God so completely and trust him so entirely with our lives, our eternity, and everything, that we can just do as this poor gypsy boy did on his deathbed. Whosoever will may come, and you can drink of the water of life freely. You don't have to be rich. You don't have to have a certain name. You don't have to have what this world has to offer. You just have to give yourself, and that's all the Lord wants. Let's kneel in prayer.